open our Bibles tonight all the way over in the Old Testament to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. And I want you to stand with me as we look at chapter number 2. We started a series just a few weeks ago, and we called it Faith Book, reconnecting with some familiar Bible friends. And so tonight we're going to look at one of the individuals by the name of Jonah. And tonight we're going to entitle the message, When You're in a Whale of a Mess, What Are You Going to Do? A lot of us can get ourselves into a whale of a mess, and you're going to find out that Jonah got himself into a whale of a mess, and you're going to find out what God did through this great prophet of the Lord. Jonah is probably one of the most pitiful prophets in all of the Word of God. When you read the text, you find out that he was running from God. He got himself in a whale of a mess. The Lord finally changed his heart. He actually does what God wants him to do, and in the process of a great, massive revival, after just preaching 8 words, this great revival came to the land of Nineveh, and still Jonah, it closes out the book with an angry prophet sitting on a hill just feeling sorry for himself, and it closes out the book. I like to call him the pitiful prophet. We're going to look at him tonight. He's one of those mentioned in God's faith book. And we're going to try to reconnect with Jonah tonight and try to learn some things from his life. I'd love to go through all 4 chapters, but tonight we're going to focus on Jonah chapter number 2. And I'm going to read verse 1 down to verse number 10. Now, we've all heard the story of Jonah and the whale, and they're frying me already up here. Are we all right? My battery might be going low. If it is, just go ahead and turn this on and hope that my pacemaker won't fail. Amen. Jonah chapter 2. We've all have heard the story of Jonah and going through Sunday school. But Jonah chapter number 2 was probably the time when Jonah is in the whale of the belly, or the belly of the whale, rather. They're frying me up here, I'm telling you. What I say, he's in the belly or whale, he's in the whale of the belly, and I'm in a lot of trouble already, so Lord help me. Jonah chapter number 2, let's look at verse number 1. I'm going to stay right here, is that okay? I'm going to stay right here. Look at verse number 1. Oh, the Bible says, Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all the billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountain, the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, the Bible says, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, Jonah says. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Tonight we're going to talk about what do you do when you get yourself in a whale of a mess. I'm going to ask you to be seated, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we look at Jonah, one of God's individuals in his faith book. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for your salvation. We thank you for your great grace. And Father, I pray in the next few moments, God, that you would open up our heart and our mind. And God, help us, Lord, to learn from this prophet that's here in the Old Testament. God, we know that Jesus speaks of this prophet. And Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to reconnect tonight. I pray, God, that you'd give us wisdom and you would give us mercy. God, that you would help us to do what you've called us to do. And we know, Lord, that even you preached about this in the New Testament. You told us about Jonah. We know that Jonah is a real, literal person. And so, Father, I pray tonight that you would help us, God, to reconnect with this individual. Help us, God, to learn from his example. Help us, Lord, not to make the same mistakes. And we will thank you and we will praise you for who you are, for what you're going to do throughout the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at Jonah chapter number 2, I'm going to try this one more time, Brother Kenny. As we look at Jonah chapter number 2, I want you to understand tonight that if you are running away from God tonight in your life, you are making a huge mistake. I want you to know that if you are running from the Lord, sooner or later, you're going to get yourself in a whale of a mess if you are running away from God. And I want you to understand that running from the Lord and running away from God's will, it shouldn't be a light matter to anybody in this room. It is a serious matter when you are running from God. If God is calling you to a life of repentance, or God is calling you into the ministry, I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, don't run from God. Jonah is living his life as a fugitive. He should be faithful to the Lord's task, but he's living his life as a fugitive, and he is literally on the run. Jonah's going to find himself going down deeper and deeper in sin until he is thrown overboard on a boat, and God places him in the prison house in the belly of a fish. And I want you to know tonight, if God is calling you to surrender your life, if God's calling you to a life of repentance, don't run from Him tonight. Run to Him. Don't run from Him. Jonah chapter number 2 is probably the most intimate chapter out of the four chapters. Here in Jonah chapter 2, you find Jonah being very transparent. He is in the belly of that smelly whale. He is down in the bottom of the sea. God has him in that prison house, and God has him exactly where He wants him to be. And Jonah chapter number 2 is probably the most transparent time in the life of Jonah. God, as He plunges him down in the depths of the sea, God begins to plunge in the depths of his soul. And as he's in the depths of the sea, God begins to deal with Jonah's soul. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you're going to learn a lot about yourself and your relationship with God when you're in a crisis. When you're down for the count and you are in a crisis, it is in that moment, in that time, probably more than any other time in your life, that you're really going to discover who you are and where you stand with God. Jonah is in a crisis. God has him in the depths of the sea, and God is getting hold of the depths of his soul. It is here that Jonah really sees where he stands in the eyes of God. He is transparent, and he begins to call upon the Lord. Now I want you to see what's going to happen to Jonah when he got himself in a whale of a mess. Look at me in verse number 1. We find what we will call Jonah's distress. Jonah's distress. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Now Jonah's in distress because he's running from God. You remember Jonah chapter number 1? God told Jonah, "I want you to go down to Nineveh and I want you to preach the people that are there." Well, we know a little bit about the Ninevites. They hated the Jewish people. As a matter of fact, they tortured them. They were abusive to the Jewish people. And Jonah said, "Absolutely not, God. I'm not going down there to that place. I'm not going to preach to those people. They will abuse me. They will hurt me. I'm not going there." They say that the Ninevites were so torturous that they used to take the Jewish people and they would bury them in the sand just to where their head was sticking out, and they would allow some of the scorpions and the insects of the desert literally to gnaw off the face of the Jewish people. And Jonah said, "I'm not going down there. These are torturous people. I'm not going to do it." And Jonah is now on the run. But I want you to know, friend, it doesn't matter who you are, where you have been, what you have done, God is a gracious God, and God wanted to bring revival to the land of Nineveh. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter how many babies we have aborted in America. It doesn't matter how many gay people stand in the streets of Washington and cheer and shout today. God still loves the gays. God still loves the lesbian. God loves the abortionists, and God wants to bring revival to America. And you and I ought to be the people who are running not away from God, but to God to do His will. Can you say amen? God said, "I love them people, Jonah. I want you to go down there." And you know the story. The Bible says in chapter number 1, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord in verse number 3. So here is Jonah on the run. Why is he on the run? Why is he in distress? It's because he's running away from God. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're running away from God, you can admit to this, you're the most miserable person that is here tonight.
Those of us that are saved, that understands the presence of Jesus Christ in our life, when we're on the run and we're not doing what God wants us to do, there is great distress that is brought to our heart and to our life. Well, look at verse number 2. You say, Brother David, the Bible says Jonah prayed. Why was Jonah praying? Well, a better question would ask would be, when did Jonah pray? Verse number 2 says this. It says, "And I said, I cried by reason of mine affliction." When did Jonah begin to pray? The Bible says it was by reason of his affliction. He is distressed. He is torn apart. He is afflicted in his soul and in his mind. And you know what? I was thinking about this. We have a tendency as believers to let prayer be the very last resort. Here Jonah is on the run, he is in distress, and he has allowed his prayer life to be the very last resort. And I think the reason why some of us don't pray in our distress is because of our human pride. We are a proud people, and we feel that we can fix it. We feel like we don't need God's help. We feel like that prayer is a very simple thing, and that we really don't need prayer. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in a whale of a mess. Let me ask you tonight, how big of a whale of a mess are you going to get yourself into before you stop and you pray and you ask for God's help? Quit trying to figure it out all by yourself. Quit going to this counselor and that counselor and reading this book and that book. What you need to do is have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival in your own heart, where you get down on your hands and knees and you call out to the God of heaven and you ask God to help you tonight. How long are you going to allow yourself to keep digging down deeper into the whale of a mess before you're going to pray? Jonah's in a whale of a mess, and finally he is calling on God and he is asking God to pray. But when did he ask God? In my affliction. It was in my pain. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, God can drive you to the point to where you are on your knees and the only place you can look tonight is up. Don't allow yourself to get in such a bind where you are bankrupt within yourself and you have nowhere to look. Your whole life is just torn apart. Listen, God wants to help you right now. God wants to help you today. He doesn't want you to get into a whale of a mess. He wants to help you. Why, he wanted to help Jonah in chapter number 1. He had a great blessing in store for Jonah. If you'll go down to Nineveh, I'll use the 8 words that you will say, and revival will come to Nineveh. But Jonah didn't listen to the will of the Lord. And as a result, he's a fugitive on the run. And now he is praying in his affliction. When did Jonah pray? By his affliction. But what did Jonah pray? And I want you to look at verses 2 to verse number 6. You say, Brother David, while he's there in that smelly belly of a whale, what is Jonah praying? What is he saying? Well, verse 2 and verse number 3, and really all the way down to verse number 6, is what Jonah begins to pray. And if you'll do a careful study of this, and I'm going to help you tonight, and we'll put it up on the screens, and you can write this in the margin of your Bible. If you'll do a study of this tonight with me, you'll see that when Jonah was in a mess, the very thing that helped him was a reservoir of truth. That is the Word of God that he had hid in his heart. Can I tell you tonight, when you are in a mess, when you feel like you can't get out, the very thing that's going to give you strength, the very thing that's going to give you hope, is the Word of God that you hold in your hand. And this is what Jonah began to pray. Jonah literally began to pray back the Psalms unto God. As he's there, the Bible says, the seaweed's all slushing around his head. He's slushing back and forth. That whale's diving down, then diving back up. As Jonah's there, he is getting, he's getting ready to talk to God. He's having a revival down there. In his affliction, God has brought him low. And the only thing that can come from his lips is the Scriptures, the Word of God, as he prays them back to the Lord. I want you to look at verse number 2. The Bible says, "And said I, cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." Well, Psalms chapter 18 and verse number 6 says this, "In my distress I called upon the Lord,
What did Jonah say? He said, by reason of my affliction, I cried unto the Lord. Psalms 18:6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even unto His ears. Maybe Jonah's there in that smelly belly of that whale, and all of a sudden he remembers what David said in the Psalms, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. And the Bible says, I cried by reason of my affliction. God, I am in distress, and God, I need Your help. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, for Thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods can pass me about. All Thy billows and waves passed over me. Psalms chapter 42, verse 7 says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of Thy waterspouts. All Thy waves and Thy billows have gone over me. As Jonah's there in that belly of that whale, of that great fish, the Bible says he begins thinking about the Word of God. And he cries out to the Lord. And he remembers what David said, Thy waves and Thy billows, they've gone all over me. Look at verse number 6. And I went down to the bottoms of the mountain and the earth, and her bars was about me forever. Yet hast Thou brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Psalms 86, verse 13, for great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest of hell. David said, I've gone down to the depths of the sea. I've gone lower than a man can. And he remembers what David said, You've delivered my soul from the lowest of hell. While Jonah is in the belly of the whale, the only thing that he can think about is the precious, revealed Word of God in his heart and in his mind. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, the waters can pass me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. Psalms 116, verse number 3, the sorrows of death can pass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Do you see the parallel? As Jonah is in distress and in crisis, somebody says, what did he pray? The only thing he could pray was the Scripture back to God. That's why it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, for you and I to take the Word of God and hide it into our heart. We must develop a reservoir of truth that in a time of crisis, the Holy Spirit of God can reach down deep into our soul, bring out that truth, and we pray it back to God. God, this is Your holy word. You said You'd never leave me. You'd never forsake me. God, You said You'd be with me, and you pray the Scripture back to God. Jonah found strength. Jonah found solace. Jonah found salvation there in the Scriptures of the Word of God. When you look at verse number 3, Jonah knew that his predicament was wrought by God Himself. Look at verse 3. For Thou hast cast me into the deep. God, I know this is Your doing. God, I know that You have allowed this to happen. Can I tell you this tonight? No matter what you're going through, whether it's loss of job, whether it is whatever it may be, illness, sickness, whatever it may be, God allows pain and suffering to come into our life. But just because God allows it doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. As a matter of fact, you say, man, this is awful. This guy's been swallowed up by a whale. Actually, the whale was God's grace to Jonah. Jonah was trying to commit suicide. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He would rather drown in the depths of the sea than go down there and preach. And he jumped off the boat. He was trying to commit suicide. And God had a whale to catch up Jonah. That whale was God's grace in the life of Jonah. I'm here to tell you, in your distress, in your pain, when you are running away from God, you're going to get yourself in a whale of a mess, because God's going to get you from point A to point B if He's got to swallow you up in a whale of a mess. Can you say amen? Jonah began to pray in his distress. In verse 5 to verse 6, Jonah, he knew he was a goner. He knew he was gone. He thought, I'm going to die in here, and there's no hope. Verse 5, the waters are compassed round about me, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Can you imagine old Jonah down there? Well, as a matter of fact, they say that there was a man some years back who actually got swallowed up by a whale. It was a big whale. It spit him out. Well, actually, they caught the whale, cut the whale open, and got the man out of the whale. And what's unique about the story is that he, I don't remember how many days he was there, but they say that his skin was bleach white. The acid inside that whale's belly literally bleached his skin, pale white, and all of his facial hair was gone. He had no hair here. He had no hair in his eyebrow. He didn't even have it growing out of his ears. It was all gone. He said, amen. No facial hair in it. Just pale white, as bald as a cucumber. Well, that's where Jonah's at right now. He is being bleached white there in that belly of the whale. He's got no facial hair. And he says, the weeds are all wrapped around my head. And I'm swimming back and forth. God, I know that I'm a goner. I'm about to die. But aren't you glad, friend, in your crisis and your dilemma, God already is making provision for Jonah. God knew Jonah wasn't going to die. God had Jonah down there. That whale was God's grace in the life of Jonah, just slushing him around a little bit, shaking him up, getting him to where he needed to be. I'm here to tell you, you're going to get yourself in a whale of a mess if you run away from God. God's going to slush you around for a little while to shake you up, to get you to where you need to be. Here is Jonah's distress. Not only do we see Jonah's distress, but in the middle of all that, in the middle of all that slushing around and weeds wrapped around his head, in the belly of that smelly whale, the Bible says in verse number 4, Jonah's decision. Jonah made a choice. And can I tell you tonight that you have a choice to make? You can either choose to leave here tonight running away from God as a fugitive, or you can choose tonight to stay faithful to God and give your life over to Him. It's your choice. Jonah made a choice. The Bible says in the middle of all of that, verse 4, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." Jonah was getting exactly what he wanted. He was running away from God, and all of a sudden it dawned on him, "I am cast out of thy sight." Be careful what you pray for, you just may get it. Be careful what you pray for. You know, there are people today in this world, they say, I don't want anything to do with God. I don't like God. I don't love God. I don't love this Bible. I don't want anything to do with Christianity. As a matter of fact, I hate God and I'm never going to go to church. As a matter of fact, they're going to get what they've prayed for all their life, and that is separation in a place that the Bible calls hell. Be careful what you pray for. Jonah was praying this whole time, I just want to run. I want to get away from God. And all of a sudden, it just dawns on him. There in that whale's belly, there it's smelly. And there's weeds all wrapped around his head. There's slush going back and forth. He's diving down. He's going back up. And all of a sudden, he realizes, I'm out of sight of God Almighty. Well, Jonah didn't know, friend. God's eyes were always on Jonah the whole time. The entire time, God knew exactly where Jonah was at. Jonah is learning that it's not near as much fun to run away from God. Jonah thought, well, this will be a great idea. I'll run away from God and I'll have a blast down in Tarshish. Jonah's quickly finding out it's not a lot of fun when you're running away from God. Psalm 6:16, verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." Jonah, do you want joy? You run to God. It says, "At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I'm here to tell you, friend, I'll tell you where you're going to have a blast. I'm going to tell you where you're going to have fun. It is in the presence of God Almighty. You teenagers and you college kids that are here, listen, you think, well, going to church is boring and going to church is no fun. You just get yourself in a whale of a mess. You get yourself in a situation where all of a sudden you've been busted. You've been found out with drugs. You've been found out with alcohol. You've got your girlfriend pregnant. And all of a sudden you find out you're in a whale of a mess. You're going to find out, honey, it's not a lot of fun when you're out there in a whale of a mess. And Jonah found out, it's not a lot of fun out here. I'm not having a good time. I'm down here in the depths of the sea. God's eyes aren't even on me. I'm splashing around here. I'm going to die. Can I tell you this? There is no need for the child of God to be a fugitive. You be faithful, and God says, I'll bring joy into your heart and to your life. Well, that's good preaching, Brother David. Can you say amen? The Bible says he had a decision. Here was his decision, verse 4. "Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." Jonah said, God, you've got my attention. And here's where I'm at. I'm going to look again to thy holy temple. And he is down there in the prayer meeting of his life. Jonah made the best decision in his life in the worst place of his life. Think about that. just like the prodigal son. The prodigal son was in the very worst place in his life. He's there eating out of a hog trough. How would you like that for breakfast in the morning? How would you like that as a meal? He's in the worst place of his life, a wealthy kid. His daddy's got hired servants. His dad had everything he could give the prodigal, and here he is. He has spent all of his money in rebellion. He found out it's not so fun out here all by yourself. And in the worst place of his life, he made the best decision of his life. And can I tell you tonight, some of us here, maybe God has to get us to the worst place in our life where we will finally make the best decision. And that's to quit running from God and run to God. That's quit living a life of a fugitive and be faithful. I can tell you, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what you have said, no matter where life has taken you thus far, I know a great big God in heaven that loves you with all of his heart. Don't you let the devil lie to you. The devil's down there in the belly of that whale telling Jonah, there's no hope for you. But the Spirit of God rises up the Scripture in his heart. And Jonah says, one more time, I'm going to look to thy holy temple. And I'm going to pray, and revival strikes the heart of old Jonah. Jonah made a decision. And you're here tonight to make that same decision. To be faithful or to be a fugitive. Well, we see his distress. We see his decision. He's got himself in a whale of a mess. What about his deliverance? Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, you heard me in verse number 2. He says, and I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. God heard old Jonah all the way down in the depths of the sea. As far as that whale could dive down, Jonah began to pray, and God said, I heard you, son. I don't know about you, friend, but that brings great comfort to me. I hope I never find myself in the belly of a whale. I've gone deep sea fishing with Brother Jerry Beer and all the guys, and I hope, Jerry, we never find ourselves down there. You know, but if I were, I know this, God is still there. Whether it's in the depths of the sea, whether it's on the highest mountain, no matter where you're at, God is always there. He said, God, you heard me. Verse number 6, thou hast brought me up. He said, God, you heard my cry, and now you have brought me up from corruption, O Lord my God. Now the question I have to ask tonight is this, how does deliverance come? How did deliverance come to Jonah? Well, you find the answer in verse number 7. It says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Brother David, how am I going to be delivered tonight? I've got myself in the whale of a mess. I don't know what I'm going to do. How can I be delivered? You remember the Lord. Let me give you 3 things to remember. Number 1, you remember the Lord's goodness. You remember how good God is to you. Jonah remembered God's goodness in verse number 7. He says, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, unto thy holy temple. God, I remembered how good you were. How good you are. Chapter 4, verse number 2 tells you and I, it says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in thy country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. I knew that thou art a gracious God. Well, Jonah knew that God was a gracious God. He knew that he was a good God. And while Jonah's there in a whale of a mess, he remembers God's goodness. Can I tell you tonight, if you're in a whale of a mess, remember God's goodness and you'll find deliverance. Not only did he remember God's goodness, but verse 8 says, he remembered the Lord's grace. In verse number 8, the Bible says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He's saying those who are looking to man's ideas and man's idols, they are forsaking the grace of God. Well, I don't need idols. I don't need man's ideas. I need the grace of Jesus Christ in my heart and in my life. He remembered God's grace. Not only God's goodness and God's grace, but look at verse 9. He remembered the Lord's glory. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah says, Lord, I'm going to remember your glory, and I will pay my vow. Let me ask you tonight, have you paid your vow to God? You know how it starts. Many of you have give this vow to the Lord. It starts off like this. God, I will do this if. God, I will do this if you will do that. If you will do this. God, I will surrender if. God, I will give my family if. Let me ask you now, have you paid your vow back to God? You know, the Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it because you cause your lips to sin unto the Lord. There are many people on a given Sunday across this country that run to an altar, and they run to that altar and they say, God, I will do this for you if you do this for me. God, I'll surrender my life if you fix my marriage. God, I will give you my life if you help me in my finances. God, I will give you my life if you'll bring healing to my body. And time again, people do not pay their vow. Jonah made a vow. And God said, Jonah, you're going to pay that vow. There in the middle of that crisis, there in that whale of a mess, he remembers God's glory in verse 9. I will sacrifice. I will do my part unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. God, I will preach your word. Why? Because salvation is of the Lord. You notice this, when he got his theology straightened out, that salvation is of the Lord, from that dark sea, from those chilly waters of Jonah's despair, that great fish come rushing up out of the top of that sea, and it vomit old Jonah out on dry land. I want you to know tonight, when you get your theology right, the mess that you're in, you're going to come rushing up out of that mess as quick as Jonah did, and God will put you on solid ground when your theology is straightened out. Remember that salvation is of the Lord. You can't get yourself out of the predicament you're in without the salvation of God in your life. And that's where old Jonah was at. And perhaps that's where you're at tonight. Maybe you've gotten yourself in a whale of a mess, and you don't know how you're going to get out. Can I tell you, it starts by remembering God in your life. If you believe it, say amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for the life of Jonah. And Father, I can testify tonight that there's been many times I've gotten myself into a whale of a mess. And Lord, I want to thank you tonight for your grace and for your mercy and those many times, God, that you brought deliverance to me. And sometimes it was unexpected, not the way I thought it was going to be. And Father, I thank you for that. And perhaps for somebody here tonight, Lord, they've got their life just in a mess. And I pray tonight that they would see that their first action ought to be to remember the Lord and come and pray. God, to seek your face tonight and look to you. May you give grace and mercy to those that need it tonight. Bring salvation and hope, Lord. Comfort the hearts of the broken as they remember you tonight. And as we pay our vows, Father, we pray that you would strengthen us with thy Holy Spirit. For God, we can't do it in and of ourselves. So we need you tonight. Bless us, Holy Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. I don't know what your need is tonight, but if you have a need, this altar's open. These men are ready to pray. Why don't you just come and spend some time with the Lord in prayer as we sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
How about it tonight?
I have decided,
God speaking to your heart,
to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning.
Let's sing that one more time. Sing it with us now. Worship the Lord.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. The Lord's given us a wonderful day today. Thank you for coming. Now remember just a couple things. Wednesday night, no service except for the youth, our college and career, and Awanas. We'll be in session for having the whole auditorium painted. And so it's going to be a mess in here, and we're going to try to give them enough time to finish that out. And one more thing before we close, I sent many of you a text message today, and those of you that didn't get it, yesterday, right after the ball game in Tennessee and Georgia, the coach from UT was arrested yesterday after the game. I didn't know if you knew that. And he was arrested for being cruel to dogs. All right, that's your dismissal. Shake somebody's hand. I'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.